The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
This chapter 14, Judges chapter 14. Amen. Now, I'm reading from verse number 1, but our focus will be verse 14. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Verse 5. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. Verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. Verse 8. After a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother. Today you eat honey. Can I hear an amen? So Samson went on eating, verse 9, and he came to his father and mother and gave them, and they did eat, but he did not tell them where he had gotten the honey from, that it had come from the carcass of the lion. Verse 10. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, so used the young men to do. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Verse 12. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. The 30 sheets refers to some linen, you know, that they wore under, and the 30 sheets of garment refers to something woolen that they put on top of the linen. Verse 13. But if ye cannot declare it to me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, Put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. Now take note of verse 14. And he said unto them, Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, Entice the husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? Verse 16. And Samson's wife wept before him and said, Thou dost but hate me, and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of the people, and hast not told it to me, and he said unto her, Behold, I have not told it to my father nor my mother, and shall not tell it to thee. 17. And she wept before him 7 days while the feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that she told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, What is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, If ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. Say amen to the reading of the word. This story is about Samson. There was prophecy before Samson was born that he was going to have outstanding strength, and the secret of his strength would be within the locks upon his head. Samson, as he grew, felt the need to have a wife. But instead of choosing a wife from among the Israelites, he had noticed some women amongst the Philistines. Apparently, he was not supposed to go there, but there was a will of God element in it, because God was going to use it to destroy some Philistines. So he brought pressure to bear on his parents that he had seen a lady on the other side, and that his parents must accompany him so that they ask of a hand in marriage. So when they took Samson there the first occasion for the betrothal or the engagement, so that was the first ceremony, and in between that they had to go again the second time for the actual ceremony of the marriage, which will last for about 7 days. And there were all kinds of activities that characterize the marriage ceremony. Now, there was an occasion that they went with Samson, but there was another occasion that Samson was walking alone. He was walking alone toward the vineyards of the Philistines. There was no one with him. Samson was all by himself, and all he realized was that a young lion came out to attack him. There are moments in your life where you will be alone. Jacob was alone, and the angel of the Lord came, and he contested with the angel of the Lord, and he said, I will not leave you until you bless me. So that's where the blessings of Jacob began, after he had received pronouncement from his father at home. Moses was also alone in the backside of the desert, and God will visit him, and God will pick him as a leader to come and deliver Israel. There are moments that God will want us to be alone with him. Tell the next person, God wants you sometimes to be alone with him. Be alone with him. So Samson was alone, nobody in attendance, and then there came this young lion. You know, it would be like one of our big dogs, like a boar bull. And the thing was frightening, because the lion was coming directly at Samson to destroy Samson. But the Bible says Samson stood up to the task. And just when his faith went up, that he believed God could defend him, a supernatural anointing came upon him. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and it took hold of this young lion and tore it as if it was a little kid, as if the flesh was like a baby, let's say, lamb, because of the enormous strength that God had placed upon his life. So Samson traveled to the other side following his killing that young lion alone. Then when he was returning another day, he noticed that some bees had come to form honey in the carcass, in the dead body of the lion. And when he saw it, he was excited. And I'm sure the honey was plenty. So he scooped some and must have eaten it. I'm sure he got some strength and energy. And he scooped some more and walked in the direction of home and gave some to his mother and gave some to his father. But he didn't tell them where the honey had come from. In your day of elevation, in your day of promotion, in your day of sweetness, remember your people at home. Oh, put your hands together. I don't know how he managed to bear the thing. Samson must have had a wide palm, but he must have scooped the honey and walked home to present to his father and his mother. But out of humility, he didn't tell them where the honey came from. He didn't tell them that I killed a lion and some bees came to form this honey in it, and that is what I'm bringing to you. The animal, the creature that came against Samson, that attacked Samson's life, that threatened to kill Samson, and Samson overpowered it, and Samson destroyed it, was the same animal that Samson got sweetness from. I think you can clap to the Lord. Oh, your clap is not sweet. It's not. I'm not feeling any sweetness in it. Say amen, a big amen. Samson killed the young lion with his bare hands. God can turn your worst circumstances into unimaginable victory. Oh, somebody must be clapping for them. The worst circumstances that come against you can present you with the sweetest victory that you will enjoy for the rest of your life. Joseph told his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God turned it around for good. It started with bitterness in the pit for me. It continued with bitterness in Potiphar's house and continued further with worse bitterness in prison. But we have a God of deliverance and a God of sweetness." He didn't just deliver Joseph out of prison, but he prepared a throne for him as second in command in the whole of Israel. Oh, come on, put your hands together. Oh, I want you to shout amen. In Philippians chapter 1, Apostle Paul says, "But I would like ye to understand this thing." He says, "What happened unto me that should have brought a setback?" Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. It says, "Unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Paul is saying that I went to Philippi. And you know, in Paul's missionary journeys, there were bitter moments. There were moments that lies would be told against him and false accusations would be brought against him. There were moments that he would be stoned. And there were moments that he will be whipped and beaten up and thrown into cells, and his back will be plucked off, and he will be bleeding, and he will be left in a cold dungeon. Apostle Paul says that some of the negative things that happened to me in Philippi, they rather occasioned the furtherance of the gospel. I am saying that the enemy may have meant it for evil, but God is about to use it to promote your life. Oh, shout amen, shout amen. The Bible says if the devil had known that by crucifying Christ, he was destroying his own self, he would never have done it. And again, if the devil had known that by selling Joseph into Egypt, he was actually pushing prophecy to come to pass, he would never have done it. He would have blocked Joseph. He would have denied Joseph the visa. He would have frustrated Joseph. But thanks be unto God that the door opened and Joseph went through into Egypt and became a prime minister in a foreign land, a land that he was not born in. Tonight I have come to tell you that the lion may have come against you, but you are about to get the victory. Where is the victory coming from? The victory is coming from Calvary's cross, because that lion of the devil has already been defeated, and you are going to walk in the steps of Christ so that that victory shall be applied into your life. Jesus has already fought the devil, so you don't need to go to Calvary's cross to die again and fight the devil. Is somebody hearing me? The Bible said Jesus was chastised for our peace. He was punished for our iniquities. Every kind of bitterness and pain that should have remained with us forever was placed on Jesus. But this is the pattern of God. He will allow you to experience a little, and in the little, he will open the door of opportunity for you. It is therefore wrong that when hardships come, you must complain. It is therefore wrong that when hardships come, you must speak against God. It is therefore wrong that when hardships come, you must be frustrated and disillusioned and feel like giving up and feel like stop coming to church and feel like stop reading the Bible and feel like stop praying or doing the things that you were doing for God. It is absolutely wrong, because all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to his purpose. The good, the bad, and the ugly, they will work together for your good. I didn't hear an amen. The uprising and the downfalling, they will work together for your good. The acceptance and the rejection will work together for your good. The honor and the dishonor will work together for your good. So it is an occasion for you to realize that you are in good business and that you cannot lose because God is on your side. Oh, let me hear an amen. Let me hear an amen. And when you read the scripture, this young man was introduced in just two verses. His whole life account was in two verses. And after that, nothing else was said about him. The first statement that was said about him, and Jabez became more honorable than all his brethren. In other words, up to that time before he prayed, he was not honorable. He was not the most honorable in his family. The other members were probably far more honorable than he was. But the Bible says Jabez prayed unto God, and he said, "Oh Lord, that thou wouldest bless me indeed amongst other things." And the Bible said God heard his prayers and made him more honorable. Why is his story so significant? Because the name Jabez means pain. It means sorrow. It means that which will end in bitterness. It means that which will cripple your joy and make you unhappy for the rest of your life. Why? Because the mother was who conceived Jabez at the time of delivery was in pain, and the pain was so much that she decided that I will pass on the pain to my child. Ladies and gentlemen, I have good news for you. If you went through some pain, it must not necessarily be passed on to your children. Oh, can I hear an amen? Let me hear an amen. Christ suffered so that we will be blessed. Although he was rich, yet he was made poor, so that through his poverty, you and I will become rich. So there is a sacrifice you must make for your family for changes to occur. Let me hear a good shout of amen. So you don't pass on the pain that your children's father gave to you, and you pass the pain on to your three children, four children, five children, or your only son or daughter. You don't pass it on. There is a situation where the pain must be terminated. The pain in the family must stop. The pain in the family must not travel in the lineage. And tonight we have come to such holy ground that we are declaring to the Most High God and before all the enemy spirits that the pain must end today. Oh, come on, you are not shouting amen. You are not clapping for God's glory. Tonight I'm declaring that the pain in your background shall end. The matrimonial pain in your background, it shall end. The pain about your health in your background that seeks to affect you, it shall end. The pain about lack of success in academia or business or in career, I declare tonight that pain must end, because the power of God is here to nip the bud. And from now onwards, we are going to declare that supernatural sweetness will flood your heart. The pain that Jabez's mother went through was so much that she could not understand why other women had pain, but theirs were normalized, if I may put it that way. Theirs were moderate, but she experienced the extremities of the pain, and she couldn't understand it. And she decided that I will pass this pain on. Anybody who has attempted to pass any pain onto you by reason of their words or attitude when you were born in childhood or when you grew up, tonight I cancel the pain. I nullify the pain. I destroy that pain, and I ask that Jehovah would deliver you and take you out of that pain. Can I hear an amen? Tonight I command that the pain shall disappear, and I can see the pain leaving your life. Don't go back for the pain, because God is setting you free. Them that the Son shall set free, they shall be free indeed. Shout a big amen, somebody. The pain is leaving your household. The pain is leaving your lineage. The pain is leaving your family. The pain is leaving your life. That gentleman promised to marry you and jilted you. I declare the pain nullified. That gentleman impregnated you, and after that, he damned you. I nullify the pain of that rejection and being left alone to struggle. You have worked hard over that child. Now is the time to enjoy something. But we reverse and revoke any curses that upon your children that may affect you by way of their behavior or their attitude. I declare the pain of alcoholism or usage of drugs or rebellion of any child in your household shall disappear now. From now I prophesy that your children shall be like a crown upon your head. They will bring you pleasure. They will bring you joy. They will bring you satisfaction. They will do well in school. They will rise to the highest height of the academic ladder in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, and those who are expecting that their children will receive placement, placement in the junior school or the senior school, receive that placement. Let the anxieties disappear. Let the struggles disappear. Let the tension disappear. May you hear a good news by tomorrow morning. May you hear good news before the close of the week. May this good news blow your mind that God has opened a door you cannot imagine, better than you were expecting, and has given placement to your child. If somebody has a witness in their hand, why don't you clap and shout? Your children and your grandchildren and the rest of the lineage shall have the best education you can imagine about. They will be shining like stars. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. That pain that occurred because you miscarried is being terminated now. The finger of God is against that spirit of miscarriage. In the name of Jesus, that pain that struck you and took away your child, today we annul it and declare it will not strike again. May God console you like He did for Naomi. Naomi lost the husband. Naomi lost the two sons. And therefore Naomi had no opportunity to see her grandchildren. But God has a design. That God, oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. God had a plan that through Ruth, oh, Naomi will be refreshed. That Naomi will be restored. That Naomi will be blessed. That what she will eat will be provided. For where she will sleep will be provided for. And that God had blessed her with a daughter-in-law who will stick to her for the rest of life. May God give you such a friend. May God give you such a person who will stand with you through the thick and the thin and make you proud and provide for you. Oh, shout amen to God's glory. The pain of Naomi was heavy. Pain of husband, pain of Malian, pain of Chilean, pain of being in a foreign country and saying that I came here with much, but I'm living with nothing. Today, that shall not be your testimony. When she returned, she said, don't call me Naomi, which means sweetness, but call me Mara. Tonight, I reverse the trend that now and from hence, you shall be called sweetness. There will be sweetness in your spirit, sweetness in your soul, and sweetness in your body. In your social life, there will be sweetness. In your financial life, there will be sweetness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we prophesy. In Israel's advancement to a land flowing with milk and honey, they went through three stages. Stage one was in Egypt. It was a place of bondage. It was a place of slavery. It was a place of captivity. Were they arrested like those who were taken to Babylon were arrested? No. Joseph had risen to a high position and invited his father and his brethren to come and join him. The Bible says they grew and they multiplied. I want you to turn with me to scripture so you see the reason why they suffered. Can I hear an amen? Or can I hear a more solid amen from somebody? Exodus chapter 1 verse 7. Exodus 1 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. They were overpopulating the people. Verse 8. And there arose a new king. You see where the problem starts. Who knew not Joseph? Not that he hadn't heard about him, but he didn't want to have anything to do with him. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more mightier than we are. Sometimes you are taken captive because you are prospering too fast. Because your business is doing too well. Because God's hand is upon you. And it's not like the rest. So look at verse 10. Come on, let us deal wisely with them. Lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when they falleth out any war. And they join unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. Verse 11. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities like Python and Ramses. Verse 12. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. I want you to shout amen for this part. Shout amen. A child of God must grow in adversity. A child of God must increase in wisdom in adversity. A child of God's prayer life must be enhanced in adversity. A child of God's prayer life must be changed and transformed in adversity. The more they were afflicted, the more they multiplied. I'm telling you that the more you are afflicted, the more you will prosper. You will prosper. The Bible says, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel, the way they were multiplying. Because they put them down, but God will lift them up. They will push them into a hole, but God will lift them and put them on top of a mountain. They couldn't understand it. Verse 13, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. Now they said, we will put you under subjection. Look at verse 14. And they made their lives bitter. Oh, whatever is making your life bitter, today you'll be free from you. You will walk out from here a free person. Bitter with hard bondage. It's like being sentenced to prison with hard labor. With hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor, with energy. Let me summarize what we just read. The reasons why Israel was afflicted, number one, was because they were fruitful. If you go back to verse 7. Of Exodus 1. Number 2, because they increased abundantly. Number 3, because they multiplied. Number 4, because they waxed exceeding mighty. And number 5, because the land was filled with them. Look at the labor that they were made to do. They were to dig clay for making bricks. They were to knead the clay like somebody who's going to prepare bread needs the flour, mix it. They were to take the molded bricks to the site. They were to form the bricks before they took them to the site. They were to dry them in the sun and carry them to the building places. And the kind of labor they were subjected to, the sufferings and bondage cannot be imagined. So the Bible says there came a time when God met Moses in the backside of the desert and said, I have heard the prayers of the Israelites and have seen their affliction. I am sending you as a deliverer. Go and set them free. Today, Christ is sent to you. The power of the Holy Ghost is sent to you. And captivity shall be destroyed, and liberty shall be established in your life. The second bondage was, the second sufferings, if I may call it so, was in the wilderness. The moment they stepped out of bondage to breathe the air of liberty, then suffering started. They got to a water that was not drinkable. There were times that they would run out of food. There were times that some people would prevent them from passing through their land. And there were various kinds of difficulties. And God said, I did not take you straight into the land, but I wanted to see what was in your heart. That is why I took you through the wilderness. Remember, when you have to go through challenges, it may be that God is looking at what is in your heart. Oh, let me hear an amen. So you have to behave yourself. You have to conduct yourself properly. You have to realize that God is not just interested in the outcomes, but is also interested in the process by which you achieve the outcomes. So God wants to see what is in your heart. So he may have allowed some circumstances. Would you, like Job, be able to praise God at all times? Would you, like Jonah, who was even running away and thrown into the sea and swallowed by a big fish, would you be able to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving in the belly of a big fish with slimy substances? It may have eaten other fish and plankton. I'm talking about plants that are in the ocean, all being digested together. And Job found a way to say, God, I praise you. Can you find a way of saying, God, I praise you? Even though there's no food in the kitchen, God, I praise you. Can you find a way of saying, God, I praise you? Even though the door didn't open today, I still praise you. The door will open tomorrow. Can you find a, find a way. Where there is no way, find a way to praise God. Find a reason why you should praise God. There may be a million reasons why you cannot praise God, but if there's a half reason for which you can praise God, then I'm asking you to clap louder than before. Let me hear you. Find a way to thank God. That guy rejected you. He treated you bad. He put your face on Facebook. Thank God that God will put your face somewhere that he cannot ignore it, because your glory will shine and the rest of the world will see you. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying properly tonight? They threw you out of that accommodation and threw out your things. If your things were even fine, like, it doesn't matter. You have a nice, 32-inch, which is the longest television? It's what? 128 inches, whatever. If your things were nice, like, it doesn't matter. But maybe your things were like my things when they were thrown into the street some time back. And you felt ashamed. But I say the same God will lift you up, will project you, put your face of glory somewhere. that they cannot ignore, and they will regret having dealt with you that way. The same thing for which you were ejected from that accommodation, another land and accommodation is waiting for you. Something that you can call your own. Something that you're going to have the keys of your own. Something that is going to be your permanent dwelling. You must learn to see ahead with the eye of faith and thank God for the mighty things He's about to do. Your life will be changed. Your life will be transformed. Your life will look glorious. It will be better than yesterday. Tomorrow is pregnant with greater possibilities and greater opportunities. You lost something, but God is a restorer. Oh. Did Malion come back? No. Did Chilion come back for Naomi? No. But a Ruth brought a child whose lineage will be plugged into Christ. And I can see Naomi playing with the grandchildren, because these are children of destiny and children of promise. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. So when I say God will restore you, there are examples in the Bible about how He restored people. He will give you another son or daughter who would do much more than what your child would have done. Before you cough, this person will interpret the cough and say, "Mommy, I think you need this. I have made a call and I've ordered the things. The things are coming. Mommy, I want to change your accommodation." "So, but this place is okay." Say, "No, I'm changing the situation for you. Mommy, I'll send my driver. For this whole week, I won't need the car because we have a conference. So the car is available to you. Wherever you are, be the car owner." It's what you believe that will happen to you. If you don't believe it, it will happen to you. God has a way of refreshing you. He has a way of restoring you. The Bible says, "He restoreth my soul." That's where He begins. Then He will restore some natural things and get somebody to be so committed, so dedicated, and literally sold out to you that the person will do much more than you can imagine. Sometimes our biological children do well. Other times they don't do well at all. And I've seen parents cursing their children. God will let somebody else play a role. The role, if you believe it, you will receive it. Play a role in your life. You may have lost your father. You may have lost your mother when you were young. But I say God is going to play a restorative role in your life. It will shock you. It will shock you. The young lion came to destroy Samson. That is our main text. But Samson under the anointing of the Spirit. Tonight you're coming under anointing. Under the power of God. God is strengthening you. There is an anointing that is coming upon you mightily. And the demons which have defeated your forebears, for once you will defeat them. You will defeat them again and again and again and again. And you will rise to higher heights of divine honor. Shout amen, somebody. Samson killed the young lion. And he left it and walked away. A few days after, when he was returning, he saw that some bees had gathered and there was honey. And he scooped the honey and began to eat. I see a supernatural honey falling into the area where it was like your enemies were too great for you. The psalmist says, My enemies, which were too great for me, you have dealt with. You have defeated them. You have given me the upper hand. You have subdued them, and they will come back no more. In the name of Jesus Christ. Tonight is your night. I said the pain of Jabez is going away. Your pain is also going away. In the name of Jesus Christ. The waters that in Elisha's time could not be drunk because they were corrupted. Elisha came and took a prophetic action and the waters could be drunk. I am saying that this time when you sit down, your thoughts will be sweet. Your meditations will be sweet. And from your meditation, the things which will be happening in your life will bring supernatural sweetness. By the time you appear on the compound of the church, there will be some joy in your life. And you'll be asking that, will there be testimony time today? Because I have testimony. By the time you finish that testimony and get back home, there will be two more testimonies waiting for some sweetness. It's a gift from God. Sometimes you say somebody has a sweet spirit. That person is pleasant. But there is another one which is, God puts some sweetness, some momoko, which is prophetic indication that some good things are about to happen. Anytime those things happen to me, people around me, I tell them something good is about to happen. And I've been sensing that in the last 2 weeks, and I believe for this church, something significant, something tremendous, something overwhelming, something favorable, something of a higher blessing is about to happen and has started happening. Let your amen receive every bit of it. There were times that life didn't look too pleasant. I remember there were days that I was studying in Aquinas for A-levels. And I would get to Kwame Nkrumah Circle in Accra and have no money, so we'll walk to Mamprobi. So I decided to, but the people who live on the other side, their parents cater for them. Cars are sent to pick them. Why not us? Do I have to walk on a Friday night from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30, quarter to 8, to arrive at another place, walk for about 1.5 hours? Why? Those were moments of pain. But God has rewarded us. Today it's the same Lord that says, I want you to go to this country and I want you to travel. Oh, come on, you are not clapping. I told you last Sunday that I saw a bulk of paracetamol in a container, in a plastic container, and somebody took it. And he got finished. Then they gave him second one and he took it. Now they said, let's look for a higher paracetamol because the pain is too much. And as I was praying, God said, he will lift the pain, emotional and psychological pain. Tonight, I'm prophesying to you. May that pain in your heart, may that pain in your life be terminated, be canceled, be destroyed. May that pain be cast out and never to return again in your life. The sleepless nights are over. The nights of tears are over. The nights of stress and pain are over. The nights of thinking and thinking without an answer are over. May the sweet spirit of God come upon your life and calm you down. Shout amen. Some of you, the enemy thought you won't proceed in your academic life and decided to make you mark time. But I know when you moved, you went higher. than you ever imagined. You're going to go higher. You're going to go higher. The sweetness that something enjoyed is coming upon you. I said, God is bringing that as a gift to you. You will transition into the next year with sweetness in your life. Tonight, we are going to, like Samson, partake of honey in the presence of God. We are doing that to tell God that we have had moments of pain, which we know he knows. But Israel's situation did not change in Egypt till they raised their voice to him. And tonight, I'm going to ask you, just for your prayer, do a big clap and a big shout and tell God that the moments of the pain, the moments of the hardships, the moments of the disappointment, the moments of the dishonor, oh, let this pain be rolled away. Let this pain disappear. Oh, Masokaya, can you lift up your voice? Let this pain be revoked. Let it be canceled. Let that yoke be destroyed. Take that pain away from my sister. Take it away from my brother. Take it away from my spouse. Take it away from my children and my grandchildren. Lord, take it away from the congregation. Take it away from the house of God. Oh, can you shout better and clap? Let that pain disappear. Let that pain roll away. God said, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from your life. Let that shame be rolled away. Jabez prayed and became more honorable than all his brethren. The pain is going. The pain is going. The pain is disappearing. We drive it far away. We drive them away like the Canaanites. We drive them away like the Hivites and the Hittites. We, God said, drive them out of the land. Drive them out. When you get to the land, don't cohabit it with pain. Don't live a bitter sweet life. Live a sweet life. Bitterness must be terminated from your life. May your bitterness be turned into joy. Tonight you are getting free. By the time we partake of the honey and the milk before God, we are telling Jehovah that in Samson's riddle, he said, what is sweeter than honey? In those days, in that, you know, region, one of the naturally sweetest things was honey. So it appeared in the parables. And so I want you to know, God is going to give you the highest sweetness. Oh, somebody expecting the fruit of the womb is going to be pregnant without realizing that she's pregnant. There will be sweetness. Sweetness. Doors will open. Opportunity, big opportunities will come. Favor will drop. Financial breakthroughs will happen. Sweetness, I prophesied. Can you get up and give 7 people a high five and say, divine sweetness? Hey, do it well, oh. Divine sweetness. Do it with power and make a strong declaration. Divine sweetness. Divine sweetness is coming to you. Divine sweetness. Divine sweetness. Ay, may your sorrows be turned into joy. May your sorrows be turned into joy. Yesterday we heard on the platform that the redeemed of the Lord shall return to Zion, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee from them. May sorrow and sighing flee from you according to the word of the Lord. I declare you will not suffer to your grave. May you enjoy sweetness so much that when God wants to take you, I say, oh, you more, be an one for you here. How many of you? Come and put your hands together. For those online and for those with True Vine Charismatic Church International, I declare henceforth the grace of sweetness overshadows everybody else. Some of you, the sweetness will start with some nice houses. Some of you with some cars. Some of you with some overseas trips, available visas, air tickets, sponsorship to study. Oh, I'm not hearing an amen. Some of you, your wardrobe will be changed. For some of you, your bank account will be filled. Every moment there will be an alert on your phone. Clang, clang, clang. 7,000, clang. 12,000, clang. 750,000, clang. 1.2 million cedis or dollars, clang. For the unmarried, when we start counseling them, there will be a stream of them. Week 1, there will be a marriage. Week 4, there will be a marriage. Week 2, there will be a marriage. And it will continue like that. And people will be dancing with some sweetness in their lives. You visit a family and you find the parents are happy. Their children are happy. And even the grandchildren are running around, they are happy. Jenny, come buy a biscuit. Oh, biscuit, keko yok, we can send again. Ko bekwe anu asoli. One day I was standing by the gate and a lady had gone for the son from school, and the son was scorching and they were walking. And the boy saw something and said he wanted to buy. The kind of beatings they beat the boy. When they got near me, I said, what does he need? I said, go and pick one for him. And then the boy wiped his tears and he picked the thing. He walked, no cook chochine wa jio one again. You are not going to leave church. Go back home and sorrow at home. No. You're not going to leave home and come to church and sorrow in church. Where your joy disappears, may God make your joy full. The Bible says, hitherto have you asked anything from me, ask and it shall be given to you. Hitherto have you asked anything in my name, ask and it shall be given to you, that your joy may be full. Some of you, you need some miracles too, okay? That your joy will be full. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Oh, we're going to take it.